Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
And welcome, everybody. This is Alan Weisberg from School of Human Potential Radio. Today, we're going to be delving into the world of a professional psychic medium. I'm very excited to speak to the guest that's coming up. Her name is Christina LaFrance, and Christina has been a personal friend to me and a mentor and a confidant for over a year. As a matter of fact, the reason why I'm on radio is because Christina put me there. So if you don't like what you're hearing, please call in and let Christina know that she made a bad choice. Anyway, I'd like to welcome Christina LaFrance to the show. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know I love talking to you. This is just another way of doing it. And this way we have it on tape, so anything wise that you say, I don't have to write down on a piece of paper. I can just listen to it.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
You're very welcome. For those people who are not familiar with you, who may not be listening to One Two Radio, where you have your station, or where you have your radio show, or who didn't call in with any questions to One Two Listen, tell people about yourself, and then we'll dive into your history.
Sure. So I am what you call a natural born psychic medium. I've been communicating with the other side since I'm probably, my earliest memory is about 3 years old. So family members have come back with stories, you know, and, you know, because I don't really remember myself, but my dad remembers frequently. At age 3, I started to tell him that there were people standing next to my bed and they were talking to me. So that's how early it started.
does it continue to this day? And what does your husband think about that?
You know, I'm married to an Aquarian. I'm an Aquarian myself, and I don't think I could be married to anyone else because he is the most open-minded person that you will ever meet, very accepting of anything. So I really lucked out there, Alan. I really did. I only started reading professionally about 10 years ago. I spent a good portion of my life not in denial, but just kind of ignoring the obvious because it made me different, and different I didn't want to be.
Right. Well, nobody wants to be different until we're kind of forced into it, or we basically decide, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to be that's me right. And everything else, you know, so be it.
Exactly.
And that's actually, and it's leading me into a question, because what we're trying to do on the School of Human Potential Radio, is we're trying to open up people's eyes. We're trying to go into many directions, you know, from finance to, you know, personal relationships to parenting to sexual education to the spiritual side, and talking about meditation, psychic development. We want people to grow, and we want people to grow in every direction. So there are some people who will believe certain things, others not, but hopefully they will be open-minded to try things. And that's what this station is about. So when you said that you were in denial, I think a lot of people would agree with that, that many of our gifts, I'm certainly an example of that myself, but many of our gifts that we have, we're in denial of. Why is that? What have you found?
Yeah, I, speaking for myself, it was the whole thing of this wasn't the average, you know, that there weren't other people that were sharing this experience with me. And I think that when we're growing up and we're adolescents, we want, you know, we want to just be average. We want to have the same, life as our friends and our peers. So being different as an adolescent was not something that I wanted to even venture into. You know, as we get older, I think, you know, we can own that in ourselves. And you know, owning being a psychic medium is not an easy task, Alan. You know?
No, I imagine not.
No, it's not. You know, and I think that a lot of us, you know, no matter what our gifts are, owning our gifts can be difficult because, you know, there's that part of us that thinks, well, who do we think we are? You know, who do we think we are to share our gifts or to be this, you know, amazing in the world? We, you know, we tend to find it easier to look at ourselves in a negative manner than we do in a positive manner. I think that that's just society at a whole, you know?
No, that's certainly could speak to it. I remember doing or setting up potential interviews to talk about the School of Human Potential, and I spoke with the person who is a promoter, and he has a ton of connections everywhere. And we booked a couple of shows right away. Speaking of the New Year's resolutions, and I was talking to him on the phone. He was explaining, some of the people that the mistakes that they make when they're speaking to these stations. And casually in the conversation, I said, "Well, since we're going on to conservative stations, I'll be very careful not to talk about spirituality or my mediumship abilities." And we kind of left it off. Within 5 minutes, I had an email from him saying, "This is not going to work out. And we're not going to put you on a station because you have mediumship abilities." I said, wait a minute. I was not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the school and helping people with their New Year's resolutions and how they can get better in life. That has nothing to do with my mediumship abilities. But that word alone, I mean, you've mentioned that society still has a stigma about it.
Yeah.
That word alone means that you're crazy or
exactly.
Something is wrong with you or you think you're talking to the dead people. So on one hand, we love watching the movies like Sixth Sense. On the other hand, we don't want to deal with anybody who may be speaking to the dead.
It's true, Alan.
Yeah.
It's true. I tend to surround myself and attract people in who are, do have the belief, but there are, on certain occasions when we do run into people who become very uncomfortable with what we do, Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think being a psychic, as soon as you say that, people automatically think that you're reading their minds, which
yes.
is funny. It's funny to me. I find so many parallels, and we're diving into other areas, but I find so many parallels between my gay friends who are saying that, once they came out as gay, people are looking at them different, not because they're not accepting of it, but because they think that by being around them, that means that they are automatically attracted to you or that they will turn gay, just like the psychic
it's
thing.
So
just because
ridiculous.
You're saying it does not mean that you're reading somebody else's mind. It's funny to me.
It's true. I was at a family gathering a couple of months back, and I ran into a relative that I hadn't seen in years and years, and I didn't even recognize him. It was like a long distance cousin, and as soon as he found out what I did, I noticed that he was staying away from me. I laughed, and I said to my mom, "Why did you tell him what I do for a living? Now he won't talk to me." Because some people think like you're going to read their mind, you're going to know all their secrets. I wanted to tell him, "You're not that interesting. Don't worry."
That's true. And you touched upon another interesting point of you didn't remember who he was necessarily. So just being psychic does not automatically make you aware of everything and every little secret in the world that's going on.
Such a misconception.
And that's good to know. So we've establishing the fact that you are normal, that you were in denial. So people can relate to that, I hope. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how people can develop their intuition. I want to talk about mediumship and some of the experiences that you have had. So, everybody, please stay with us. We'll be back right after these commercial breaks.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
And welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. We're having a conversation with a professional working psychic, Christina LaFrance. I love that name, by the way, Christina LaFrance. And
thank you.
I don't think you're just French. I think there is Italian in you as well. So how does that work?
I am. I'm Italian and I'm French and I'm a mix of all different things. My father is half Irish and Indian, American Indian. So wow. I'm quite a few different things.
I know. You that's a very interesting combination in the kitchen, I suppose.
It certainly is. It certainly is. LaFrance is my mom's maiden name. I took her name professionally. Mm-hmm. It just rang beautifully. So I took her name years ago. Mm-hmm.
It does. So now you're giving people more reasons not to like you. You're French and you're psychic and you talk to dead people. it's just like me, you know, coming from the former Soviet Union. So if you take the Russian passport, half the world hates you. I have the American passport, so the other half the world hates you. I am of Jewish heritage. So either way, you can't win in this scenario. Don't mention the fact that I'm psychic too. I think I found the fourth one.
Oh, boy.
So, talking about psychic abilities, you've mentioned that you're a natural born psychic medium. But mm-hmm. for other people who may or may not be natural born, or they don't know their abilities yet, but they've mm-hmm. noticed that some things have happened. For instance, they were thinking of a person, and another person calls them, or mm-hmm. they have a strong premonition, or we can call it women's intuition, whatever we want. How can people develop those abilities?
But, you know, I think that, you know, the categories, you know, you just explained them very nicely. You know, there are people who are just born with that little extra. They don't ask for it. They don't try to develop it, but it's just there. It's just part of who they are since birth. And then, you know, it's the rest of us. We all have intuitive gifts. We're all born with that. And some of us have to work a little harder in developing it. Some of us just have to turn on that light and say, oh, yeah, you know, I can do this. So, you know, my advice that I give to my clients, you know, they'll come to me with a pressing question and they'll say, you know, Christina, I really can't figure this out. And, you know, my first thing to say to them is, when you really have something that's a pressing issue that you need to access your own guidance and your own intuition on, the first thing that I would like you to do is become present in the moment. Intuition only lies in the present moment. It doesn't lie in the past and it doesn't lie in the future. It lies in the present moment. So we must become present. And when we're able to become present, then there's something else I want you to do. I want you to go to your heart space. I want you to put your hand over your heart and I want you to engulf yourself in the white light. And I want you to bring love into your field because all answers lie in that space. They do not lie in the space of your mind. They're not found in the ego. Okay, intuition is not accessed through the ego or the mind. It's accessed through your heart space and it's accessed through love because love is who we truly are. And as soon as I say that to a client, I'll even work with them through the process. They're asking a pressing question, you know, should I sell this house? Yes or no, Christina? You know, and I'll bring them into that heart space. What's your answer? You know, and they're 99% of the time, their intuition is right there. It's on. We have access to our intuition. We do. We all do.
Yeah. We just don't trust ourselves because we don't know who's right. talking. And that's right. actually, so in terms of the psychic development, let's say that people continue with that. How do they know that it's the intuition speaking versus their ego or, you know, let's some religious people would say that it's the demon talking to you. I mean, how would they know?
Okay, so I get that question a lot. And the short answer to that, it's really not complicated. We, as humans, our ego mind wants to complicate everything, but it's really not complicated at all. And the short answer is that when the ego speaks to you, your body feels different from when spirit speaks to you. So I always ask them, gauge your body. You know, are the answers that are coming in, do they feel a little off? Does it make your stomach hurt? Do you get a tightness in your chest? You know, and when spirit is speaking to you, there's nothing but love exuding from your body. You'll have a smile on your face. You'll feel almost a little euphoric. So that's the difference between spirit and the difference between ego. Ego is always going to put you in fear. So if you feel any fear, you know your ego mind is talking to you. If you feel love, spirit is speaking to you.
Very interesting. Okay, well, those are certainly things that people can do. I guess just get in touch with yourself. Mm-hmm. And in the last show, we were talking about access consciousness and Akashic records, and that was the theme as well. You have to realize who you are, be in tune right. with yourself, and then you can access those records.
Yeah.
Or you
remember
can
who you are.
Changes.
Yeah, that's it, Alan. We just have to remember who we are.
All right. Well, it's as simple as that, people. Just remember really who you are.
It really is. And you know what? All right, listen. So we're going to hit some bumps in the road on the way to remembering who we are.
Right.
Because there's sometimes when we're trying to access our intuition, but our ego is just speaking really loud and we can't shut it down. The mind is the gateway to the soul. And I will say this, you know, your mind speaks to you and there are repeat patterns of things that your mind is trying to tell you for a reason, because it's trying to lead you to your soul. So there may be some stuff that we have to clean up in the shadow area of ourselves, which is the unclaimed parts of ourselves, to be able to reach our intuition. So there's all that in between. That's another long story, right, Alan?
That's very true. But to clarify for people, because you've mentioned mind and you've mentioned brain, you know, how would you categorize the difference between the two?
The mind and the brain?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I think that, you know, the mind and the brain are one. And I think that, you know, I'm not one to sit here and say that you shouldn't listen to your analytical mind, because, you know, your analytical mind is, you know, it's amazing. You know, we can't get along on this earth plane without it. You know, I'm not saying to walk around in spirit constantly, you know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes we have to reach to the soul instead of the mind, because the mind, we always have some stuff there that needs some clearing up. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And I think there are exercises, again, as I was doing my practices and trying to get in touch with those psychic abilities and mediumship, what I found is that for us to shut off our minds would be very difficult. But if you give your mind or your brain a certain task that it should be doing in the background, then the mind is busy and you can do that. I think in meditation, it's also a practice of, you know, focusing on a spot on the wall or looking into the candle that's lit, basically making your mind focus on something. So then your, you know, the other part that's not the ego is actually allowed to go into the heart center. So techniques. I think all of these are techniques that can help.
Techniques are amazing. I mean, there are so many different techniques. There's meditation, there's tapping solution. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do. And I'm a big fan, believe me, I am. But I always tell people, those are great tools to use, but we can't use them to bypass. You know, we can't, how do I want to put this to you? If you can't shut the mind down and none of those tools are working, it's because you're bypassing something. So we always have to remember that.
Yeah, and that's actually a very good point, because, you know, people who use tarot cards, or people who use the pendulums or any of the other methods, if you don't shut off your mind, these things are not going to go around it. You're still connected. It's still you. It's still that controls the body and the way that the pendulum swings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what I always found funny. You know, I bought a pendulum and I'm thinking, but whatever you're thinking, that's the way it's moving. You really have to get your mind out of it. And it's not just a shortcut of, you know, kind of getting around yourself. Okay. So that's some of the things that people can do to develop their intuition. I know a long time ago, you've mentioned something to me that I have been using ever since. And, it's the little things. So if something happens where people lose stuff around their house, such as they lose their keys or they misplace the phone, well, phone you can call, assuming that it's not on, vibrate or turned off.
Sure.
But whenever they misplace something and they're trying to find it, what would be your advice for people on how they can do so very quickly?
Yeah, very quickly. I have a great tool that, gosh, if you asked me where I got this from, I would never remember. I use it for myself, and I give this advice out often to people who call me. And it's accessing the moment and moving yourself into present time. Nothing in the eyes of God is ever lost is the phrase that I use. You could use the word universe. You could use whatever word is fitting to you. But nothing is ever lost in the eyes of God. And as soon as I move myself into present time and I move into the field of nothing is lost, it shows up immediately, because we're not in that space of it's lost. If it's lost, it's going to remain lost.
Right.
And if you're in a space where you say that nothing is ever lost, well, then it's right in front of your face. And it sounds out there, but it works. And I urge everyone to try that. The next time you lose your keys, nothing is ever lost in the eyes of the universe or God. And, it's called getting your ego out of it.
It's true, and it's been open to something. I mean, regardless of these, you know, losing your keys, but I'm sure that people listening to this can say that many a time they are looking for something and then finally they give up and they're, you know, decided, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then it just appears.
And you're thinking,
wait a minute, I was looking in this very same spot and nothing was there.
Yeah.
I know. So there are you know, things that we can say about that, but I think all of that is based on what you said, being in the moment, being present, being aware. Because if you're not aware, if your mind is somewhere else, you're not going to find it. Just like the expression of when the student is ready, the master will appear. The master was always there.
That's
the student just didn't notice the master.
That's right.
So I found an article. I'm not sure exactly when I read it or where it was. But the article was talking about how people perceive information. And if you show something to a person who is from a different background and they're not familiar with certain subjects, in. So for instance, they showed to people who are somewhere in New Guinea or Africa that are not of this civilization, so to speak, with all of our stuff that we've invented, and you show them a picture. And on that picture, you have a ship, or you have a computer, or something that is not in their consciousness, is not in their awareness. They're not going to know what it is. They're not really even going to notice it. They're just going to say, something. And then their analytical brain is going to try to ascertain what it may be. So if they see a plane, they'll say, oh, it's some kind of a bird. Mm-hmm. You know, so things that we do not are not That's aware right. of are not in our, you know, visual capacity to notice.
That's right.
Same thing with the keys or the things that we lose. So very cool.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, me too. It struck me as something that was so interesting. And
it's so simple too.
Right. You just have to place your awareness. And once you do, everything around you will start appearing. So there are these little techniques and psychological tricks that people say of, think of something and it's going to appear. Well, let's kind of break that down further, because when I was studying, angel communication or psychic abilities, in order to get a direct connection with your angels, you can ask them, I want you to send me a message, and I want this message to be something that I can receive in the real world and something that I would be able to validate. And you've seen that all the time working for people. So it's not just me, you know, everybody else is saying it. What you're asking for, and then you start getting it. On the other side, of course, by focusing on something, you start seeing it. So That's when right. I was trying to purchase a car, and I was debating which car I was going to buy, and I was looking at, you know, Audi Q5, I started noticing Q5s everywhere.
Of course. Were
they not there beforehand, or was I just not paying attention? So it's those things, and I think for people who are going to be studying that angel communication, psychic development, make sure that you are aware and then differentiate of whether that's coming from somebody like your angels or your guides, or it was always there, you just haven't noticed it.
So true. That's so key. It really is. I tell my clients that all the time. It's just a shift in awareness is all it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very cool, because then people, regardless of whether they want to be psychics or they think that they have the gift or not, they can use this in their everyday lives. They can look at anything in terms of their work environment, their children, sports that they're playing, and just get into that level of awareness. You know, in a baseball analogy, right? You're in a zone. You're seeing the baseball as big as a beach ball that's coming to you. That just means that you're very aware and present in the moment. We can use this for anything in life. Very cool.
Absolutely.
So wanted to talk to you about mediumship, because, again,
sure.
I'm fascinated with this. I've had some mediumship experiences which blew my mind. But for people who are grieving, for people who have lost their loved ones, you have the ability, and you do this on a daily basis, you have the ability of getting in touch with those spirits and passing messages from that side, if you will, to this side. How can you tell people that don't believe in this stuff? Are there any examples that you can give them that would be so real that there's no other explanation for that event happening other than actual direct communication with the other side?
Sure. I mean, I've had tons and tons of experiences, but there's a couple that, of course, stand out in my mind. Mm-hmm. I had an experience probably about 2 years ago where I was just sitting at home, you know, having my daily work day going on, and I get a phone call from my daughter telling me that, you know, there's this dog that needs a rescue. You know, we're a family that loves animals, and we're, you know, constantly doing our part and trying to, you know, help out with, you know, rescuing animals and placing them. And, you know, she's, "Mom, we need to take this dog in. It's a Boston Terrier. The family, you know, somebody passed away and we need to take this dog." And I, you know, I argued with my daughter and said, "We're, you know, we're kind of full right now. We can't do that. You know, I'd love to help these people out, but let's try to find, you know, plan B for them." Mm-hmm. She wouldn't give up, Alan. She kept calling me and being very persistent. And finally I said to her, "All right, Ashley, I'm going to call you back and, you know, we'll figure it out." After that phone call, I get a phone call from my cousin who wants to tell me that her sister-in-law was murdered. And yeah, it was really tragic. And long story, the short of it is that this dog belonged to that woman who was murdered. So there's no denying that, you know, and the short of it is that this woman contacted me and was pulling on her neck and this necklace around her neck. And I wound up in communication with the family and helping them. The police wound up going to the house and finding the necklace on the floor. This necklace was very important to her because she wanted her daughter to have the necklace. So she reached out to me through the spirit world to make sure that they got this necklace to her daughter. And there was no way that they would even know it was there. It was like tucked underneath the couch. I guided them to it through communication with the spirit. The short of it is she tried to contact me through my daughter and then my cousin, you know, so it's, you know, it's, yeah. It was just, there's no denying that, Alan, you can't make that up, you know?
No. And that's good to know, because I think all of us want to believe, whether we have these experiences or not, all of us want to believe that there is something out there, that when the body dies, that the soul is going someplace else, and, you know, for hopefully not hell for those people that believe in hell. So it's good. How do you find, you know, professionally speaking, because you spend so much of your day speaking to people and being basically in the spiritual world, how do you find the balance of your normal everyday life? Because you are a mother, you have these dogs, you have a husband, and you have a life. How do you balance the spiritual with the material?
It's quite an animated household. I will have to say that. It's quite animated. I mean, there is always something going on because I do, you know, I am, like you say, a normal person. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. You know, I'm a lover of animals. I have, you know, my work with them. And balance wasn't easy in the beginning, but I really had to. I really had to, you know, find a balance to keep my life, you know, somewhat normal. So what I do is when I'm not working with the spirit world, I will shut it down. And the way that I shut it down is I just announce out loud, "I'm done. No more." And I ask the spirit world, I say, "I'm closing that door right now." And I ask for no more communication for the rest of the day. It didn't work that well in the beginning, but it does but it does work well now. And I do it a lot when I go to sleep, so I'm not disturbed at night, because that seems to be the biggest time where they want to come to you, because your guard is let down. You're sleeping, you know. But it takes practice. It really does. Like Lisa Williams, I know, who I adore, she'll put her hat on to signify to spirit that she's no longer taking messages or going to communicate with the other side. So that's how she shuts it down. I just verbally tell them out loud. And if I'm, you know, in a room where there's other people, of course, I just say it in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So saying it out loud versus saying it in your mind still has the same effect.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And it doesn't work all the time, Alan. It really doesn't. You know, I was a couple of months back, I was you know, shopping in a local pantry called the Handy Pantry. It's like a little market in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I was with my son, and my son was talking to this woman. He just was, I don't know, he was smiling at her. They started talking. And I saw her husband behind her. He kept flashing in and out. He kept waving me to him. He wanted to talk to me. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I already shut spirit down, but he was bypassing it. And I was laughing because I was like, no, 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 no. But he was so strong and he was so loving. And I just knew, Alan, you know, there, you just know when you're able to reach out to a stranger and give them a message. You get that feeling in your body. You intuitively know it. So I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, what's the matter? And I said, I don't know if you know this. I says, but there's a man that follows you around from the spirit world and he's telling me he's your husband. She goes, oh, yeah, he's with me every day.
All right. See, that wasn't so bad, right?
No. And we wound up having a great conversation. We brought her uncle in who just passed 2 weeks before that. It was great. I mean, of course, we started to get a crowd form around us in the store, you know, but it's okay. You know, I'm not the psychic medium like the Long Island medium who you see on TV who is out in public giving messages in public. That's not really who I am. But if it does strike me and I know that it's right, I'll participate, no doubt.
Very nice. Well, hey, we can have a TV show for you as well. Because you're not. Are you in Long Island?
I am. I'm originally from Brooklyn. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, but I live on the island now.
Yeah. Okay, so you can be the Brooklyn medium. Is that
yeah,
is that going to work
sure,
for a show?
Why not?
Get the two of you together. See what happens. Very interesting. I know that many people, when they're dealing with their day-to-day problems, when they go to a psychic or they go to somebody who has an understanding of what's happening, they can tell them about things that happen in their life, whether it's in this particular life or in the prior lives, mm-hmm. that may be leading to the problems that they're having right now. Mm-hmm. Some people call that shadow work, and I know this is the type of work that you also do. Can you tell people about it and how it can help them?
Sure. I want to say that this is like the forefront of my work now. I've been drawn to this over the years. And so the way that shadow work helps you is that these are the unclaimed parts of ourselves. And what I mean by unclaimed is that we're most of the time not even aware that this is affecting our life in a whole. Mm-hmm. When I have a person call me up for a reading, I want to say within the first 2 minutes of them speaking to me, I'm accessing their field. I'm accessing their energy field. Your energy field, you could, if you put your hands out, it spans out as far as you can stretch your arms. You have enough energy in your body to light up New York City at any given moment. So what you're doing when you call me on the line or when I'm in a face-to-face with you is you're inviting me into your field. And when I get into that field of that person, I start to access information and I access information about their past. Because if it's affecting their present moment, Alan, mm-hmm. then I'm accessing it. Okay.
Right.
And 99% of the time I'm accessing shadow stuff from people. And I think that, you know, it comes along because people have to realize that wounds from the past, we're carrying them with us. We're allowing it to dictate our life in the present moment. So I always say to people, you're living via your past wounds. So, you know, I have a client that'll call me up and say, Christina, I'm so sick of meeting the same man over and over. You know, a man who I can't trust, a man who is cheating on me. I immediately start accessing the wound from when it was born. That's mm-hmm. the gift that the angels have brought forth to me. I'll go in with the angels and we'll start accessing it. You know, age 5, your dad packed his bags and left. He left because there was an affair, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever it may be, they give me access to that wound when it began. So the healing can begin, because that's why we're accessing our shadow, because we want to heal that wound. We want to heal that pattern. We want to give that pattern love so that we don't continue to repeat it, so that we could actually create in present time rather than creating from our past wounds.
Very interesting. So have you found that a lot of your shadow work has been in this particular lifetime for the people, or do you go to the past lifetimes as well?
You know, it is interesting. I love past life, anything that has to do with past life. I just find it so intriguing. And yes, I do access people's past lives from time to time. I want to say that a majority of the time we're really operating from wounds that are in our chart, our plan on this time on the earth plane, most of the time. I mean, it's random, but, 10% of the time, maybe 5% of the time, I will pick up something from a past life that they did carry over into this life. But I want to say that most of the time, no. that a lot of the time it's just present. It's from this chart that you, this contract that you have on this earth plane.
Very interesting, because for me, it's kind of the opposite. When I meet people, I know very quickly if this is a person that I've met before. And by before, this is a person that I've never met in this lifetime.
Yeah,
but I know that I've met them before. I have a very good idea of why they're here. And I know what type of relationship that we must have had in the previous lifetimes.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
the stuff that I pick up on. It's, I found that
absolutely.
Fascinating.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Very cool. So coming back to one of the things that that you mentioned about, you know, we all have enough energy to light up New York City. Mm-hmm. But for those people that are saying, oh my God, I feel drained or I don't have enough energy, mm-hmm. what would they be talking about and how can they fix that?
Mm. So immediately when somebody comes to me and says to me, Christina, I'm drained all the time. You know, I am just exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted. I'm physically exhausted. I know immediately they've lost touch with who they truly are. I know immediately that they are not connected to their spirit. Mm. And that's the short answer of it. You're not connected. If you're drained and you're being bogged down, you're not connected to who you truly are. And, you know, that's the short of it, but there's, you know, the
right.
long of it where, you know, it depends on, you know, what you're, hey, listen, to me, that tells me that you're navigating in the past or that you're too far in the future, you know, that your spirit only exists in the present moment. So if you're bogged down and you're drained, you know, that there's shadow work to be done because your mind is bringing you back to that place where there needs to be healing. The mind is a window to the soul. So, you know,
perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to ask you more questions about angel communication. I want to mm-hmm. ask you about prayer.
Sure.
And when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to continue our discussion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say? But wow, I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirms so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. And welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. I'm Alan Weisberg, and we're having a discussion with a professional psychic and my friend, Christina LaFrance. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you feeling drained or you're feeling connected to the spirit with enough energy to light up Long Island?
Big smile on my face. You have great energy, Alan.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm working on my energy. Although, what does that really mean? When people say that, what does that mean? But that could be a whole separate discussion from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Another show, right?
True. And you're always welcome. You know how much I like talking to you.
Thank you.
In terms of other things that you've mentioned, and you mentioned angel communication, and I know that you also use cards for some of mm-hmm. your readings, and then the power of prayer. these are some of the topics that I wanted to touch on before we wrap up the interview today. So in terms of angel communication, how does that whole thing fit in with your psychic abilities, mediumship abilities, and angel communication? Are those different channels or this one and the same? How does that work for you?
Well, you know, I think that angel communication is something that has been with me since I was a small child. I always knew I had these beings of light that would just put such a smile on my face and make me feel so warm inside. So I've always had them with me. I didn't even have to ask them to be with me. They just were. When I work with clients that don't believe in angels, I still access them. They still talk to me. They're still with me. I may not mention. I will call it messages from spirit. If the client is comfortable, I will call them by their names. You know, it's just depending on who I'm speaking to. But they're always with me, Alan, always.
Very cool. And when we're talking about angels, are we talking about archangels or your guardian angels or somebody else's angels? I know that there are many different varieties would be the wrong word, but I think we know what I mean.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are times where I am talking to a specific client and an archangel will start to come in. I'll start to feel their presence and recognize them. But for the most part, I'm speaking to my guardian angels and I'm accessing the client's guardian angels. Yes.
Perfect. Is that when you're accessing the client's guardian angels, do you speak to them directly or your communication is through yours to theirs?
Through they're having the conversation and my guides are giving it back to me.
Got it. No, and that's a very important part, I think, from the mechanical perspective as people are trying to develop that type of ability. Well, you know, you're either born with it or you're not, but people can develop what they have. Sure. And if they're doing that, they need to understand that it's not just opening up the whole bucket, but basically you're still dealing with your guides and your guides are bringing in other information. One of your advices that I really found useful is when I was going and studying advanced mediumship with Lisa Williams, you gave me advice of how you bring people in from the mediumship perspective. And you ask the other person to think of who they want to bring in and to ask them to make that connection and to give them permission to communicate through me. And that was immensely helpful to me.
Yeah.
Because if I just open it up and, you know, we had people in the room and you had to do live readings, it was very, very quick things. If I had to do all of the kind of preparatory work, it wouldn't work as well. As soon as I asked the other person, don't tell me who you're bringing up, but in your mind, imagine, visualize that person that you want me to speak to. Ask them to come forward. Ask them to give information and give them permission to work with me. That connection was so strong and immediate. That's what worked for me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful connection. As soon as I have a client sit in front of me and they express that they want to do mediumship, I have them close their eyes. And if I'm with them in real time, I'll grab their hand and I'll say, you know, let's pray together. And, you know, let's surround ourselves with the white light of the Holy Spirit. Let's bring the angels forth and let's protect ourselves first and foremost. But I want you to think of the person who you're going to be connecting with today, who you want to connect with today. I want you to go into your heart center and I want you to send that person love, because that's the stream that I'm going to pick up the information from, is that stream of love between you and your loved one who has passed. And you're right, Alan. It's unbelievable the connection that you get when you go into that space.
No, that's true. And so in that sense, they're building that bridge for you. You're just connected to it.
That's we're the medium. We're in between. Yeah,
that's true. You are the medium. The whole Bridges Long Island thing comes to mind, but never mind. speaking of prayer, you mentioned that you pray with your people. Lots of people do meditation. I know that you do prayer. Can you speak about the different prayers that you would be using or something that people can use on a daily life?
Sure. You know, I do. I offer sessions on One to Listen, coaching sessions, intuitive coaching that include prayer. The power of prayer is amazing. I pray every day. I urge my clients to pray every day if that's something that's, you know, in their belief system. The power of prayer is the most powerful tool, as far as I'm concerned, that we'll ever use in this lifetime. I've seen clients turn around within 24 hours after saying a soulful prayer. I teach my clients to pray from the soul and not to pray from the ego. The ego wants, and gives a list of demands to our creator, to the universe, to God, with whatever you're comfortable with. And your soul asks for our best, highest good. You know, because we're here, Alan, and I'm a firm believer, we're here with a soul contract and we're not getting out.
Yeah.
That's our contract. So, you know, best, highest good is what my advice for everyone out there to pray for what is best for my highest good or the people concerned that you're praying for, not a laundry list that the ego will comprise of I need this, I want this.
And are there particular prayers that people can use, and doesn't matter which words they use in the prayer?
You know, I think that that's, you know, it's a personal thing, but I think that, you know, what I do is once I have the consultation with the client, I usually write up a, you know, a prayer for them to say, and I email it to them later on, and it's, comprised of all the issues that they're going through. But what I would recommend to people is that, you know, if you're lost and you're just at your wit's end, you know, the best prayer that you could possibly say to the universe is, you know, that I surrender, you know, all is well, and I pray for the outcome to be for my highest good. And sometimes our highest good isn't going to be pretty, you know? You know, and I always say to clients, are you ready to say this prayer? Because you have to understand what you're doing. The energy shifts immediately. You have to understand that when you surrender and you hand it over, and when you're praying for your highest good and you're not coming from ego, you got to watch because your highest good isn't always going to be a smooth road. You know, people think, well, if I pray, then everything's going to be perfect. No, it's not going to be perfect. But that road to happiness and contentment may be a little bumpy.
Yeah. Well, I again, based on your soul contract, maybe this is what we're looking
for.
And it's hard for people to realize that, yes, you as the person may want this, but your soul from its higher perspective wants a different experience. And it may suck for you here, but that's from the higher perspective, that's what they want to see. So, yeah, it's something that we kind of have to come to grips with.
Yeah.
The word surrender is a very powerful word. And again, talking about that particular thing in my experience, until you surrender, you're not going to get anything. So if people want to develop their psychic abilities, or they want to develop any abilities for that matter, you have to surrender, not just to the moment, but you have to surrender to those guides that are guiding you. And no more powerful of an experience that I have than when I was in Lisa's class, and I told you about this. I was blown away by it. But, you know, it was an advanced mediumship class, and Lisa set us all together. And you have, you know, 26 or so professional mediums. We were all sitting facing each other in a big circle, and Lisa put a blindfold on and proceeded to do an amazing reading for a member in the audience. And you know, their family came through from the spirit, and everybody was amazed. And it was a 10-15 minute long reading. Then she takes off the blindfolds and says, "Who's next?" And at that moment, I have this incredible sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. Oh my God, she's about to pick me. And before I could process that information, she looks at me and says, "Alan, you're next." Oh, and at that moment, you basically have two choices. You either get up and run away, or you surrender because...
Surrender to the moment, yeah.
Right. And I remember myself being completely panicking, putting on the blindfold, and telling to my, you know, guides and angels, I said, "You guys put me in the situation. You better get me out of it. So bring
That's
me something."
Right. Yeah.
And I basically surrendered. I said, "I give up. You're driving the bus from now on." And that's when the information came in, and it took a little bit of time to get to that information. You know, 30 seconds to a minute of trying to kind of get to a proper string, if you will. But once I surrendered completely, once I calmed myself down, I proceeded to have the best reading I've ever had in my life. And everybody in the room was crying, and the reading I was doing for a person I completely did not know anything about them, or the family member that I was reading for, I was crying. And the only way that I could have done that was to completely surrender.
That's right.
Yeah, Lisa keeps preaching that. You were saying surrender. I guess that's the best advice that I can give to anybody listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to develop your abilities, surrender to your guides and allow them to work through you, because really you are just that vessel of information.
Yeah, it's true, Alan. And you know, the one thing, the strongest advice that I have for the listening audience, you know, in accessing, you know, psychic abilities or even just your own intuition to help you guide you better in your life is, you know, it all starts with the foundation of self-esteem. Isn't that true, Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, self-esteem. Self-esteem is so key in accessing your intuition and living in the present moment. It's key. I can't express that enough.
Well, you've been extremely expressive today, and you've allowed us to take a look into who Christina LaFrance is. And thank you so much for sharing all of this information about your fascinating life. How can people find you? How can they listen to your radio program? How can they get a reading from you if they have any questions that they want to ascertain?
Sure. So you can find me at ChristinaLaFrance.com. Or daily, I am on 12listen.com. I am an advisor on Mark Husson's site. And my radio show airs every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 12radio.com.
Perfect. Well, Christina, love you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And God bless. Continue helping people. We certainly need it.
Thank you. God bless you too, Alan.
Thank you. And everybody else, thanks for staying with us for another installment of School of Human Potential Radio. Please come back again. We have many fascinating programs where we interview experts from all over the world in different areas of mind, body, and spirit, trying to help you become well-rounded and self-actualized. Thanks again, and see you next time on School of Human Potential Radio.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.